beep, boom, beep. Yeah, I have me a little Greg Holland All-Star Game logo looking picture, all photoshopped and everything. It's all ready. Which means he's not going to get picked.
I mean, there's a lot of people that agree with you.
I mean,
can you still hear me?
The good thing, yeah, the good thing is that there are a lot of guys to go to pick from, so that's okay. Like that's a decent problem to have.
I still think that if it wasn't for that they had to take one of ours, they wouldn't.
I don't know. He's been pretty good. I mean, there's only one player in all of baseball that has more strikeouts per nine innings. He's got more strikeouts than a lot of starting pitchers. So, and the ERA to do it. I mean, there are some times where guys do that, and they're, you know, they have like four ERAs because they're, you know, just getting hit all the time. But not Holland. Holland's been nails.
Well, I guess we will see.
Yep. They might be about to announce anyway here in a second. So, American League pitchers. Scherzer, Hernandez, Rivera, Crane on the DL, Buchholz on the DL, Darvish, Ashishi, Iwakuma, Joe Nathan, Bartolo Colon, Glenn Perkins, Brett Cecil, Verlander, Masterson, Chris Sale. Huh.
No surprise on Sale. Is that all of them?
I don't know. Apparently so.
If it is, we're both wrong.
Yeah.
It's Salvi or Alex Gordon.
Yeah, maybe both. Huh. Well, I'll be damned. I'm surprised. I did not expect that.
I may just use this audio, too.
Yeah, might as well.
So, while we're waiting here, we'll just kind of do this informally this week. You know, we talk about a lot of things on this show, and I think we do a good job of being pretty open and not being too blue glasses, you could say. I know that I was accused of that on Twitter over the last couple of years, that if somebody wanted to hear all the good things about the Royals, they'd just listen to my podcast, but it has no content with reality. And I don't think that's fair. I think we've been pretty fair with everybody on our opinions on things. And what Mike was just talking about was the All-Star rosters are coming out, and we're watching this while we're recording, so he's just kind of throwing in the All-Star rosters. Obviously, this isn't live, but no pitchers from the Royals taken. We both had pitchers taken. I had Irv or Shields, with Shields being my number one, and Mike had Holland.
Yeah.
So no pitcher, it looks like.
Not initially, at least.
Put out a contest for $10 to Kelly's to somebody that can name
reserves.
The All-Star. And the reserves are coming in while we're doing that. It looks like a few people had Gordon, so those people are still in it.
Yeah.
A few had Salvi, and one person had Elliot Johnson. If it's Elliot Johnson, I'm going to shoot myself.
Two! We got two! Sal and Gordon. Awesome. That's awesome. Oh, I'm happy. I'm happy about that. Holland's cool and all, but two, that's awesome. That's very cool. All right. Well, I'm psyched now. Let's do this.
Come to Spit Cup this week. We'll let the person who has the highest bar tab ride the bull. We don't have any TVs in our bar, but we make our own entertainment. Mondays, it's free cover charge to anybody with a gun rack in their pickup truck. Tuesdays, we've got $8 beer night. All domestic beers are on special for only $8. It's Spit Cup. Wednesdays is longest tobacco spit. Thursdays is foot fungus night. Friday night is jamboree night. Bring your crap kick in your 10-gallon hats. And this weekend, you get our world-famous Spit Cup girls. You get to pick which one has the most teeth. It's Spit Cup. No love letters.
Talking to the wall. Or you could go to Kelly's Westport Inn. The highest quality drinks with the lowest prices. You know what we do. Drinks, friends, plenty of TV showing sports. They've got all the basketball and all the baseball on. Live music on the weekends, the best pizza in Kansas City, and fun. Kelly's has the best rooftop patio in town and is voted one of the best places in Kansas City to check out the view, if you know what I mean, and maybe make a new friend. Make the best choice for your evening entertainment, Kelly's Westport Inn. Kelly's is at 500 Westport Road in Kansas City, Missouri. Kelly's Westport Inn. Tell them the Royal Man Report sent you.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's past.
It's a place where I met my wife and my three children were born. And to this day, I'm so proud to call KC home.
A show that looks at Kansas City baseball's present.
Alex with a basket catch. They're going to send the runner. His throw, a great one. Alex Gordon with a tremendous Gold Glove play.
And a show that looks at Kansas City baseball's future.
Kansas City baseball fans eat baseball.
This is the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
All right, so welcome back into the Kansas City Baseball Vault.
This isn't even a real show. We're just going to... Shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
That is good, and I'm wrong. I told people that if they didn't have to pick one, that there wouldn't be a royal taken, and, you know, there's people out there called, like, Hate Proof 82. He said that token, he doesn't think that's fair because there's legit all-stars on this team, and I said, nah, there'd be no one that would get picked if it wasn't for they had to take a royal. Well, obviously, if they took two, that means I'm horribly wrong. So yay for being wrong on that one. And I'm glad. I'm glad I'm wrong. Now, we know Alex Gordon will not be in the Home Run Derby because Robinson Cano is a douche. But that's a whole other story for another day, I guess. But he has already come out and said that he will not select a royal to be in the All-Star Derby. And he also will not be coming to play in Kansas City anytime soon, which is quite all right, I think, with most Royals fans as well. So what we were going to talk about today was, you know, who deserves to be an All-Star. Obviously, that case has been made, and I think we've covered that pretty well, that there are two legitimate All-Stars on this team, and
that's
definitely
cool.
A step in the right direction. Now, I wish that would turn into wins. Fortunately, Will Myers, not an All-Star this year.
Well, he's only played a month, not even that.
Half. Will you let me know if Puig gets in or even gets in the final vote? Because that's going to annoy me if he does.
Why?
I don't think he deserves it. I don't think anybody that's been in the big leagues for a month deserves to be an All-Star. I get that it's an exhibition game, but come on.
Well, I mean, what about Bryce Harper's a rookie? He was a rookie for 3 months. Well, do the extra 2 months count more?
I don't really think that he necessarily did, but 3 months of the season, I mean, that's actually over a majority of the season, is it not?
It's half the season.
It's half of the half that they were comparing it on, so...
Yeah, I mean...
More than the half, I should say. So, yeah, it does make a difference.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Alex Gordon was...
Puig's fine, because, I mean... In the end, it's an exhibition. You know, like you said, I don't care if it counts. That's dumb. You know, having home field advantage tied to an exhibition game, that's dumb. That's just stupid. But, you know.
It's too bad that the players don't care the way they did in the 80s and 90s when I remember watching a game where Cal Ripken scored in, like, extra innings after Big Win had tied it up. You know, those were the days when the All-Star game mattered and they cared. And
well, it was interesting because there wasn't quite as much player movement back then. There wasn't interleague play. And, you know, so it was actually kind of a spectacle. It was really cool. You know, and there wasn't quite – when I was watching, you know, when I was 9, 10 years old, you know, you end up looking at a bunch of – players that you never see because the TV contracts weren't as widespread. There was no internet. You know, there was hardly any, you know, other than maybe a game a week on ESPN or NBC or whatever, you really didn't see a whole lot of other players from other teams aside from what, you know, you have locally. And so for me, I would get to see the Royals. And even then, you know, until about 93, I think they only broadcast, you know, road games for whatever reason. So I only got to see, you know, half the games every year. So, you know, there's so many players you just don't get to see. And now you do kind of see him. So it does take a little bit of that kind of novelty out of it. But I remember the first All-Star game I really remember was the 89 All-Star game. And that's the one in Anaheim where Bo Jackson was the leadoff hitter. And like the second pitch, you know, hammers about 450 feet. Later in the game, steals a base, makes a sliding catch, you know, All-Star MVP, and just, you know, cemented his legend on that day. And it was awesome. Like, I recorded it on VCR. I sat there and watched it, like, 20 times that year and another, like, 10 the year after, because it was just, it was so cool. That was just crazy. So, you know, but it was, it seemed a lot more interesting then. Now it's kind of neat. I mean, last year it was cool because it was in Kansas City, but I can't even say if I would have watched if it hadn't been in Kansas City, because it's just not as neat, you know. It's just not the same kind of situation.
Well, and then now this year you almost have to watch because you assume that at some point that one of those two guys are going to get in.
Oh, yeah, Perez for sure. Just, you know, being a catcher, they usually will only take about three catchers. So, you know, he's certainly probably going to get in. And I didn't even notice. I was just so surprised to actually see that we got two Royals. So, like, when they put it up on the screen, I saw Alex Gordon. I was like, that's awesome. And Perez was right underneath him on the screen. So that's very cool. I think that's God, that's so cool. First time since 2003 the Royals have had two All-Star representatives, or at least more than one. And first time since 2000 that they were both position players. Usually it's always been they get that one guy, and it's like Jeff Montgomery, or it's a, you know, whatever their good starter is, or you know, it's some relief pitcher, you know, Joaquin Soria or Aaron Crow a couple years ago. I think that's awesome. I think it's really cool to have those guys come in.
And the good thing is Alex Gordon's not on the DL right now, which would have prevented him from playing in the game. I thought for sure he was headed to at least a 7-day DL.
Me too. I mean, that's crazy. No Puig from what I can tell, but a lot of things going on too. So trying to follow Twitter, trying to follow the actual broadcast. I don't see him, though. Let's see. Nope. No Puig.
Do you happen to see who the D-backs are right offhand? Obviously, I do the D-backs podcast, live in Arizona.
Goldschmidt.
That's it.
Yeah. He deserves it. But
any pitchers?
I don't know. Let me scroll through. Corbin.
Okay, good. That's what they figured. They did those two in.
Corbin's been really good. He's got, what, 10 wins? Didn't he win, like, his first 9 decisions or something like that?
Yeah, he's been the guy that's been on the 10th win for, like, a month and a half or something, I'm pretty sure. So it's been crazy down here. And, I mean, that team's just barely above 500, and they're leading their division because the division's such crap.
Well, we kind of understand what that's like as Royals fans. We're a pretty crummy division ourselves.
Yeah, but the difference is the Royals can't figure out how to get over 500 and stay there.
Yeah, well, they're new at this, so it's difficult.
They're new at this. They've been around since 1969, and
well, I mean, just these guys. They're new at winning things. I think this is the first time since 2003 that they won their 40th game before losing their 50th. Is what?
Oh, Plague's on the final vote. Well, that's over. Well, we know who's getting that.
Well, if they want to vote him in, that's fine.
Oh, this game's such a joke.
If he hadn't been put in, would it have still been a joke?
No, it's obviously much more of a joke when he gets put in. Did they name the two replacements for the two injured guys right off the bat?
Cologne was one, but I didn't see another one.
The fact that Big Fat Bartolo Colon is an All-Star is kind of a joke too. I know he's having a great year, but
yeah,
but he's still Big Fat Bartolo Colon.
Oh yeah, he's always going to be. And he's just going to get bigger and fatter. As he consumes more and more whatever's in his wake.
So I've tried 3 times to bring up the Alex Gordon topic. Is there anything we need to talk to him other than he just plays the game like everybody should play the game? He plays it as hard as anybody. And to Matthew Berry's disdain, he plays it with great amounts of hustle. And
plays it with, you know, there's all the talk about like Chris Getz and grit, but Gordon really, you know, is what you see when you get grit plus actual talent. Because, I mean, he's, you know, crazy. I mean, guy's in crazy shape. Probably has the best raw power on the team. and plays hard and, you know, plays the game, quote, the right way. So I think it's really cool to see him get this opportunity. And plus, yeah, I mean, coming back, I think this he's kind of having a down year because his June was terrible. You know, it just seems like this is kind of making up for the last 2 years where he's, you know, 2011, he should have been on the All-Star team. There was, it was silly that Aaron Crow was on that team. I mean, he had a good year, but it wasn't an All-Star year, and Gordon was definitely deserving. And, you know, last year still had another very good year, you know, two gold gloves, probably going to get a third this year. So, yeah, I think he's done well enough this year to get back into the game. And again, it's a good thing that he actually gets to play in the game because, you know, Wednesday he took a heck of a shot, just crazy. And that he's back 2 days later is kind of ridiculous. And he walked, what, three times today? Pretty good game for him. And, you know, good to see him back. You know, there was a lot of concern about this concussion, and concussions really aren't anything to, they're being taken a lot more seriously. You don't want to take them lightly because it's, you know, it's the brain. Obviously, that's a sensitive area to sustain an injury to. And so, you know, they ran him through the test. Baseball gave him the clearance, so he's all good to go. He's having no symptoms, so just seems like he took a shot, and, you know, now he's back. I mean, he didn't seem to be hampered by the bruised hip that he suffered at the same time, so nice sigh of relief for the Royal season, and nice accolade for Gordon to get named to the All-Star team.
Did you happen to catch who the final vote was for the American League, since the National League doesn't matter now?
No, I didn't see it. I really think Holland's probably going to be in there, but it might also be that because Jesse Crane was named to the team, that they'll have to... Oh, here it is.
MLB doesn't have it up on their website yet.
They've got Joaquin Benoit, Steve Delabar, the Blue Jays, David Robertson, Tanner Sheppers, and Koji Uehara. All of the guys in the final vote are middle relievers, which is really weird. National League, Ian Desmond, Freddie Freeman, Adrian Gonzalez, Hunter Pence, and Yasiel Puig.
You did say Gonzalez was in there, right?
Adrian Gonzalez.
Yeah, he might have a shot of pushing Puig, but it's going to be hard.
I don't know. Puig's the big guy, so, I mean, we'll see.
It's too bad that that Holland couldn't get into that last vote.
Yeah, we'll see if he's going to get, if they put him in as a replace. The guy's got such crazy stats. 1.91 ERA. He's got 33 innings where he struck out 56 batters. You know, he's got a 5-1 strikeout to walk ratio. That's an all-star. I don't care. I don't care what you're talking about. But the good thing, and we talked about this a little bit, is that it's kind of new to have all these guys who are actual potential, you know, all-stars. You know, James Shields could have easily been a selection. Irvin Santana could have been a selection. You know, I was looking at it earlier today, and Eric Hosmer, you know, over the last 3 weeks, he's really jumped up. But overall, his WAR in the American League among first basemen is second or third best. And I really did not expect to see that. It seems like it's, you know, there's a lot of players that just haven't been great and stand out great. You know, Edwin Encarnacion's hit some homers. You know, Chris Davis obviously is hitting every.
Isn't he? He's just having an insane year.
He's got a full season's worth of stats already, and it's July 6th.
I mean, Joe Mauer once again makes it. I didn't realize he was having that good of the year. I haven't been following the Twins for any reason.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
April, but he's been very good. I mean, what else do you expect?
And he's not hurt, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Chris Davis, Robinson Cano, boo.
Cano.
Boo. Yeah. Boo. J.J. Hardy, which it's kind of cool to see Hardy get in. He's an Escobar-type player. Glad to see him have
really. He's got a ton here. More power.
But you look at how he started his career. Same player.
Yeah. Yeah, he started out rough.
And that's why Ned believes so much in Esky that he could be this, because, and I actually, that was something I asked Ned when we had Blog to the K, was, you know, how he sees Escobar, and he mentioned that he was a J.J. Hardy type, and that he could see Esky having, he said Hardy has a little more power then, but he said he could definitely see Esky being a J.J. Hardy type. Miguel Cabrera at third, I mean, of course, last year's Triple Crown winner.
Right.
And MVP. And Mike Trout.
You know, if it wasn't for Chris Davis, Cabrera would be on the road to another Triple Crown. So,
yeah.
crazy.
Now, would that be enough to finally get everybody to accept the Triple Crown as something major if he would have won it 2 years in a row?
Well, I don't think anybody's discounting that it's not a good accomplishment. It's just that it's an arbitrary assignment to three statistical categories. I mean, what if in 1915 somebody would have said that doubles were the most important power category? And the Triple Crown was awarded to somebody who had the highest average, most doubles, and most RBIs. That's just kind of what it comes out of to me, is that, you know, you're just kind of picking these three categories, and yeah, they're, you know, a good indication of who's very good, but, you know, you look at Cabrera, he's had more homers in other years of his career than what he had last year. You know, he's had higher batting average than what he hit last year. So it's just, you know, confusing
just
to make that accomplishment that much bigger just because he happens to lead the league in all three 1 year. I don't think, and we talked about this when he was named MVP, you know, I didn't have a problem with him being named MVP for himself. I just felt that Mike Trout was much more deserving because he did, you know, similar kinds of things, not the same, but, you know, for the time that he was up, very similar stuff, but did other things that Cabrera didn't. And, you know, that was kind of my take on the whole MVP thing. You know, the Triple Crown, I mean, it's impressive for sure. It's just, the most impressive thing in the world. You know, it's tough because you want to critique it, but you don't want to dismiss it. And to me, you know, I think it's just arbitrary. I think it's kind of like picking your Cy Young award just because somebody has the most wins, when the context is a lot more complicated than just saying, well, he had the most wins, so he's the best pitcher. Well, okay. Well, Bob Welch had 27 wins in 1990, but, you know, he really wasn't the best pitcher. His ERA was not great, and there were a lot of, you know, I think he got 5.5 runs of run support while guys who were much better got, you know, 3 or 4. So that kind of stuff matters when you look at the big picture. It's just not always as simple.
So I'm looking through here real quick. We'll finish talking about the All-Stars here in just a second. We're having more of a national show than a Royal show this week.
Yep.
But I like where we're going with it, so we'll keep going. But there were people that I did ask only for, in this contest, I asked for one token Royal. Obviously, we got two. And there were people that gave me multiples, and I was just going to go with the first one named, or in this case, the first two. And a couple of guys, you know, Randy Watt, RANDYWATT, and our good friend of the program, longtime listener, Andrew McGregor, ADM, CGREGOR3 on Twitter, both named Salvi to their guesses, but they named him third behind Holland. Andrew had Holland, Gordon, Salvi in that order. Andy had A1, Holland, and Salvi in that order. So both of them miss out. A couple other, Mike Vimosi, friend of Kings of Kaufman, you know, writer,
yep.
Friend of the program. Holland and Gordon was his guess. He's Mike Vimos, V-M-O-S. Like I said, a few people were joking with, like, Elliot John stuff.
Went through Luke Hochaver out there.
Yeah, Uncle Mikey, who is M-O-J-I-E, Mike, I believe is how those letters work out. He had A1 in Holland, so close.
Pretty
but not
close.
Quite. Then there was one for just Perez, one for just Alex Gordon. Holland and somehow Butler gets in. That didn't happen. Holland and Gordo in the final vote. Gordon and Holland. So everybody had Holland. Nobody had Gordo and Salvi, so those two guys came close. I'm kind of debating if we shouldn't just give it to one of those two. But nobody really got it right. Nobody really got the question right.
No.
So we'll think about it. We'll decide what we're going to do here. I'm sure I'll put it this way. If October, if the weekend of October 5th through the 8th, if Andy or Andy or Andrew McGregor, either one, are out at Kelly's at the party, tap me on the shoulder, and I've got a couple of drinks for you.
There you go.
So you just got to come out to the party in October. And I think it'd be hard for Andrew to use them anyways, because if I remember right, he lives in, like, Illinois.
I think he's in Indiana, but yeah.
West Lafayette, Indiana.
Same thing.
So
what's the difference? I mean,
they're just Midwest.
They're
states.
The
they
same.
All run together.
They all look the same. It's all flyover country anyway. What do those people know?
And Andy lists Northwest Missouri State, so he's a St. Joe guy, so he definitely can come out. So, Randy Watt on Twitter, if you come out to the party, I've got a couple free drinks for you. Maybe we'll do some Jameson shots. Let's see. Oh, so yes, Alex Gordon, stud, all-star.
Yep.
Not hurt. Very good things.
Oh, yeah.
Then the opposite side of the spectrum. And I don't remember who started, I guess I could look it up, who started the thing last night. But one guy went off, Aaron McKinney, who's a good guy and a good Twitter guy, AMAC8419. He's just really burned out on the Royals. He doesn't get them anymore. And by the way, Mike, are you counting all of your money?
Yeah, sorry.
I keep hearing this change click in the background.
I put a bet down on Gordon. No, I didn't. No, go ahead.
That's about what it sounds like, is somebody at a card table. But he went off on that if you can't see that Butler is part of the problem or is the problem, I don't remember what he said. He said it was part of the problem or is the problem, then you're just staring through blue-colored glasses and you need to get over yourself. Holy smokes, Twitter exploded.
Well, and I've posed this question before. If Billy Butler looked like Eric Hosmer or David Lowe, would he get as much flack as he gets? And I don't think so. But because he looks like, you know, he's 6'1", 240, he's a big guy. But he looks like a guy who, you know, if you're watching a movie, he looks like the big guy who sits in there and just slugs the ball over the fence. Butler's not that guy. Butler's never been that guy. Last year he had 29 homers, and it was awesome. But he's not a home run hitter. You know, he's just not. He's always been a gap-to-gap doubles hitter. You know, his sweet spot is right center field, right in that gap. That's where he's at his best. And, you know, I think this is an example of people trying to make him a player that he isn't. You know, he's a power hitter in that he hits for extra bases, but he's not a power hitter in that he hits for home runs. If you look at his minor league career, he had 15 home runs was his high watermark in the upper minors. If you look at his A-ball career, he hit 25 for High Desert. But the circumstance of that is that, you know, we talked about context earlier. High Desert's an elevation kind of area. It's hot. It's right there in Arizona, you know, and the ball just flies. I likened it to hitting on the moon because, you know, everybody who goes there hits homers. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. They hit homers. And so it's just not representative of who he is as a hitter because he hit homers in a high home run situation. You know, so otherwise he hits 15 homers in the minors, and that was his high mark. And then, you know, he gets to the majors, he hit, you know, 18 homers 1 year, 21 another, and those are both really good marks. But what he is going to be a 15 to 20 homer guy most of the time, and he's going to hit you about 40 to 45 doubles. And at the same time, he's going to walk. He's not going to strike out that much. He's going to hit for a high average. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know why that's such a why people don't like that player. I just don't understand it. You could put those same stats behind any other player on the Royals, and I don't think anybody would have a problem. But I really think it's just a bias of what the eye shows you in what Billy Butler looks like versus, you know, what his actual skill set is. You know, he's not the prototypical big guy out of a baseball movie who just sits up there, spits the tobacco, and pumps it over the fence. I'm thinking of, like, the Clu Hayward guy from Major League, you know, the big barrel-chested dude who just crushes it. That's not what Billy is. He's a doubles hitter who can take a walk, has a really good knowledge of the strike zone, is going to hit you around 290 to 300 every single year. And for some reason, that's the problem. This is the guy with the best offensive WAR on the team. This is the guy with the best on-base percentage. This is the guy with the best OPS up until Alex Gordon took a bunch of walks today. You know, what's the problem? I don't understand it. He's 20% better than league average according to his OPS plus. He's a top 25 player as far as overall production. If you look at his weighted on base average, just about every statistical measure you can look at, he's the best offensive player that the Royals have. And that's the problem. I just don't understand that.
And my thing is, as a guy that's big, I mean, if anybody's seen me, I'm not a small guy, but I used to be over 300 pounds. I got down to 2 1/4, and I put most of it back on. I'm about 275, 280 now. And, you know, I think that Butler should be in shape, but that doesn't take away from him as a player. If you want to say that he's not as good of a person or an athlete because he's fat, fine. He's slow, sure, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know that he'd necessarily be a whole lot faster if he was skinnier. I don't think when I was, you know, at 2 1/4 that I was necessarily any faster than I was at 270 because your body doesn't fluctuate that much, I don't think. At least for me, it didn't. Now, with that said, yes, he's an athlete and he should be in shape, but that doesn't take away from what he's doing. A lot of the argument was he doesn't hit home runs, therefore he's not worth $8 million. He is the best player on the Royals, and he says, well, he's our cleanup hitter. He should hit more than 6 home runs. He shouldn't be our cleanup hitter. He should be our number 3 hitter. He should be the best hitter on the team, which is what he is. Yep. He is a prototypical number 3 hitter. And the reason he's hitting number 4 is because Moose and Hosmer sucked for months, and Moose still sucks. I'm on the Hosmer bandwagon again. I'm back. But
we're glad to have you.
It was a long road.
It
guys.
Was tough. I almost fell off too, so I get it.
But Randy Watt does make a good point. If Holland gets in on a replacement, him and Andrew both win.
Yeah.
But they're the only two that had those three, and they would both win. So if it does, then they both win.
That's
so
fun. Hey, we'll ride it out.
Hey, I'd be glad to do it. Audra Marvin upset. That's Audra _ Marvin upset because she had Gordon typed and then deleted and went with Holland at the last minute.
Oh,
but doesn't matter. It's only what's in print.
Yep. Once you hit submit, there it is.
Let's see. What else were we going to talk about today? Let's jump around a little bit since this is kind of a wild show. We're not going to really do around the minors. Ned came out and said that there's not a place for Danny Duffy on the team. That set Twitter into a storm too because.
A
your
little
number
bit.
Five starter, your number 5 starter went out and pitched one inning the last time and hasn't been really that good all season, but there's no place for Danny Duffy.
Well, Wade Davis was pretty good in June. He was one of the best pitchers on the team in June, second best behind Santana. He had, you know, other than that one game, and you can't throw that out. It still happened, but he did. He was better. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to stick with Davis. They're not going to demote him. They're not going to cut him. They're not going to do anything like that. You know, they've got obviously Shields and Santana are going to be there. Guthrie's there. So basically he's got to be light years better than Luis Mendoza, and any of the guys that he would replace, they'd have to basically put through waivers and risk losing. And if they're guys who can put up average numbers, you know, an average major league starter has a lot of value. It's not, you know, it's not going to be spectacular, but if you get a guy who can get a 4.5 ERA and give you 175 innings, that has some value. And it's just better than, you know, trying to fill in with replacement players. And so since they do have options with Duffy and he can stay in Omaha and they don't have to put anybody at risk of going to another organization, yeah, it makes sense. I mean, I'm not really that surprised. Plus, Duffy hasn't been completely lights out. He's been better in his last few starts in Omaha, but he hasn't been... You know, it's not like he's going out there and shutting guys down, you know, 8 innings on 90 pitches and striking out 10, walking 1. You know, he's getting 5 innings, 5.2, 6 innings, and, you know, still, you know, he's striking out guys, but he's also giving up some hits. So the performance hasn't warranted a whole lot of, you know, outcry. It's not like Will Myers hitting 35 homers last year in the minors. I think it was 37. I don't know how many he hit last year. Whatever. He's not in the organization anymore anyway.
He's not.
No, he's not. I wish he was. But that's just kind of what it is. I mean, that's the logistics of the game. They have to have a guy, if they can stash him in Omaha without putting him at risk of going to another team or losing him, then they're going to do that. If they can do that without having to, you know, completely shuffle the makeup of the rotation, they're gonna go ahead and go with that option. It's just going to be... That's just how it works. It's the kind of stuff that keeps players in the minors for, you know, through Super 2 deadlines and things like that. Or that's why Lewis Coleman's in Omaha now rather than in the major leagues, because he has options and guys like Bruce Chen and J.C. Gutierrez and Luke Hochaver don't. You know, they might be the best guy in spring training, but if they have that roster flexibility to send them down, that's what teams will do. And, you know, maybe it's not right or fair to the players if they outperform, but – you know, that's the business of it. That's, you know, it's retaining that kind of the inventory, as the Royals put it. And for the most part, that's okay. I mean, Hochschaber's been pretty good. Actually surprised at how good he's been out of the bullpen. Bruce Chen's been okay, but he's kind of crummy if he comes in with runners on. Gutierrez is whatever. He's replacement level. So it's not a ton to complain about there. So, yeah, there's not really a spot on the big league team right now that Danny Duffy can just step in and fill in.
You know, I have sources that tell me that that's pretty on mark, that we probably won't see him till September, which is fine. It is what it is.
And the thing is, you also don't want to rush him back. Tommy John surgery. I mean, a lot of pitchers are not Steven Strasburg. They can't necessarily come in 11 months later and be right back where they were. You know, there's always a little bit of adjustment, and Duffy is only he's about a year and 3 weeks removed from the surgery. So, you know, there's still a lot to kind of come back from. And, you know, I think 2014 is definitely, he's going to be penciled into the rotation somewhere, but I mean, he still has to go out and perform and show that his arm's right.
Looking at an article from Pete Grathoff, am I saying that right? We need to have him on the show.
Pete Grathoff, yeah, does a lot of the minor league stuff with the Star.
Yeah, he's part of Ball Star. He reported on July 3rd, left-handed Daniel Strumpf? Who cares? He's not in the major league yet. Pitched a no-hitter in the first game of a doubleheader Tuesday as Low A Lexan beat Greenville 1-0, and they took the second game of a no-hitter 7-1. Shame on that starter for giving up a run. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Another no-hitter in the Royals organization.
It's funny because I think this happened in 2011 when there was the Will Smith, Kelvin Herrera no-hitter in Northwest Arkansas. And I think like 2 days later was the Luis Mendoza almost no-hitter that was ruled a no-hitter and it was reversed.
Right, and wasn't there one more even? I thought there was
somebody else
that had been on our show that went out and did something fantastic.
I kind of feel like there was, but I
don't
think of it right now. So
we'll bring it up later if we do. In the opener, R.A. Mondesi hit a home run. It was his fifth.
I like that. I like this R.A. Mondesi. That's
who came up with that on Twitter? Because I'm going to use it a lot.
Leske did. So we have to cite our source every time we use it, he said. Because Leske's a jerk, and
I'm just gonna clip that out. Leske's a jerk.
Yeah, send it to him. I want to put that in one of those audio birthday card things. That'd be awesome.
If you don't know, Rollo Mondesi, famous Major League Baseball player, coached I think the Dominican Republic in the World Cup.
World Baseball Classic.
I'm having a moment. I'm sorry.
Cup.
It's an exhibition.
He did that too. I don't know.
He's the father, apparently really likes his name, named his kid Rollo Mondesi Jr. He's with the Brewers. Maybe someday he'll be there with the Royals, who knows, but he's with the Brewers right now, I believe. Yep. And then he's got another son, Alberto Mondesi, whose first name is actually Raul. So he's actually Rollo Mondesi as well, not Rollo Mondesi the third, just Rollo Mondesi. And our good friend D.B. Leske coined the term R.A. Mondesi, which I think I'm just going to use going forward.
Cool. I think that works.
It works really well. We got to try to get that to catch on, and then maybe we can do another article about, similar to Country Breakfast, how R.A. Mondesi took off.
Well, if we're going to do that, let's get Dirty South out there.
Yeah, that too.
Was that a shrug?
It was a shrug. If we can make it work, make it work. I'm always for that.
Disappointed.
Strumpf he's 6-6 now. He struck out 3 and walked 1, and a batter reached on an error. It's the only thing that kept it from being a perfect game. In the second game, Christian Binford, who's a name to watch, I've seen him pop up a couple of times now. 1 run on 5 hits, 6 strikeouts and a walk, and they had 11 hits, 2 from a guy you might know by the name of Bubba Starling, which included a double and 3 RBIs. And another name to watch, Fred Ford, went 2-for-2 and scored 2 runs. Terrence Gore and Mondesi also had a pair of hits each. Gore is on Twitter as well. I don't remember what his Twitter handle is offhand, but you can look it up on the Royals website.
A lot of those minor league guys, they put a bunch of numbers and stuff in.
Yeah, it's all weird. Yeah. Binford, in his last 10 starts, has had a 1.48 ERA and 57 strikeouts, 11 walks, and 60 and two-thirds innings. He's 4-1 in that span.
Good names. Yeah, and lower-level guys, they have a way of doing stuff. I mean, you look...
This article... Sorry, go ahead. I keep interrupting you.
Well, I was just going to say Greg Holland was a guy that, you know, he was a 10th-round pick, I think. you know, not really well known, and just kind of came out, started striking out a bunch of guys in 2011, came up, and there it is. And you know, sometimes those guys are where you get your success. You know, James Shields was a late round guy too, so it's not always first rounders. That's why it's important to get a lot of depth in a system. And, you know, these guys are guys you might be able to find out later, and that they're contributing at the big league level.
Actually, this article on July 3rd actually does a really good around the minors. I'm just going to go through a couple of the other hits. So I'm reading pretty much right through the article from Pete Greth off the Kansas City Star, off the Ball Star. If you don't read it, you should. When they put up the paywall, this is something I will pay for. Ventura in AAA, Ventura allowed 5 runs, 4 earned in 6 innings, and the Storm Chasers lost 6-3. That's Ventura is now 2-for-2. He'd allowed just 3 hits, but he walked 2 and hit 2 batters. His ERA in AAA is 5.16, so he still needs some work. But he did strike out 6, so he looked good. Friend of the program, Anthony Sarantelli, had 3 hits, including a double and a run scored in an RBI. DH Max Ramirez and center fielder Paulo Orlando each had 2 hits. I want Sarantelli to get a shot at the big so bad.
Yeah, I do too. It's a cool story, and then, you know, he deserved it. I mean, he's hitting really well, so it's not crazy. It's one of those things when it became... You know, when Moose was starting to look like he might get sent down, Sertelli was a reasonable option to fill in for a little while. Now it might be something where September, if they have a 40-man spot, they might put him up just to kind of give, you know, he's 30. He's never been in the big leagues. He's, you know, unsigned free agent, you know, went to a tryout. Give him a shot, get him put out there, and there it is.
Well, and the thing to keep in mind is that's a huge deal. If they do that, that makes it so that he's eligible for a Major League Baseball pension,
mm-hmm.
which is a ton of money. And you only have to play in the majors one day to get that.
Yeah.
So if they bring him up in September, they're doing him a huge financial favor beyond that he'd be making over $1,000 a day being a major leaguer. I think it's something like that. He'd be making this huge paycheck that he doesn't get in AAA, obviously gets added to the 40-man, makes it more likely they might use him in the future, but he also gets that pension. So when he does get a little older, he'll have a little money to fall back on. It seems like he's a pretty smart guy, though. I think he's got a little bit of money as it is. So.
And he's got he does all this video kind of stuff and video editing and production. He's got his secondary career all lined up, no matter, you know, what happens with his baseball. He's going to be okay.
And we got about 9 minutes. I need a jet here in just a little bit. Unfortunately, I'm a little strapped for time the next couple of weeks, and I've been battling a hand injury that's been taking up a lot of time and a whole bunch of stuff. And I'm sure there's some jokes there for those of you that are dirty-minded. But it's apparently an injury that's common among servers is what I found out, is that apparently our joints go bad at a young age for those of us that have served for a long time. So I got to get back into IT is what the moral of the story is. We talked about Duffy, we talked about Butler and Gordon, we talked about the All-Star stuff, we kind of stopped, we were working through the roster. Mike Trout's on there too, he's kind of an important dude. But
heard him.
All in all, I think the National League has the better offensive roster, so if I was going to put my money on it, I think it's the National League's year again, especially if they throw somebody out there in the first inning that gives up 5 runs like Verlander did last
year. What a bum.
Totally killed that game.
It was kind of a lame game to be at because it was done. Like, it was just toast. All we were waiting on was seeing what Butler would do.
And I think there was so much buildup, and then he struck out. There was so much buildup for all of us that had, you know, we'd done so much with the show and everything, and then everything else, and it was just so, it was so defeating.
Yeah, it was still a really fun time, though. It was awesome. I miss the All-Star game. It should come back next year.
Yeah, it should come back every year. I mentioned on the show. Well, Minnesota's not that far though. You could have.
Yeah, it's not the same. I mean, you know, last year at the All-Star game, it was more than just the game. It was everything. I mean, the whole city turned out to make it special. I mean, it was that whole week. You know, everything from, you know, going downtown and seeing the convention center and everything, and look, you know, the blue fountains and all the nice, you know, the logos all over everything. I mean, it was just awesome. It was really cool to see everything. Fan Fest was great. We did the BP event. That was awesome. You know, ran into people at Kelly's. That was awesome. There was the Home Run Derby. You know, it was just an awesome week of baseball stuff. And it should come back.
And it should. It should come back every year. I mentioned every in year. The on the Arizona show, because Arizona just had it 2 years ago. So it won't be back here anytime soon. But I did mention that if it ends up in L.A. anytime soon, I might have to make a trip over to L.A., which are or even Colorado. But Colorado's had it, you know, somewhat recently, I guess. I guess has
they
it been?
They should put it in Dodger Stadium.
I mean, if they do, and I can get tickets to the Futures game, that's the only thing I'd be interested in going to, because I think that was the best part of the whole thing.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great atmosphere. It was just cool. You're just watching a bunch of kids trying to make it, and you know, we had one of the rare sellouts of the event, and I think that says a lot about Kansas City. Kansas City's a great baseball town, always has been, and always will be. I don't think it gets the credit it does because the Royals have been so bad for so long.
Okay, I don't think we have anything else. I think that it's funny watching my feed and all the Arizona fans that are trying to come up with who they're going to vote for to keep Puig out. This LA-Arizona rivalry, it doesn't get talked about much nationally because LA's got such
San
bigger
Francisco,
rivals, San Francisco
big
and stuff like that. But man, there is no love lost between those two teams, and I might be going to one of their games on Monday. So
there you go.
That would actually be kind of exciting. I'm sure there'll be some boo Puig there. Maybe I can get that going.
Pay it forward.
I used to never be the. I was always the guy that you can never boo anybody. Don't boo people. It's so tacky. Don't boo. And then Boo Cano came along, and I was like, yes.
Yeah, that made sense.
Boo Cano
made total sense. And the national media completely missed it.
Completely missed it. That's all right. He'll be booed every time the Yankees come to town, and he can be a little crybaby about it. Oh, did we want to mention that the Royals picked up Jason Bergman on a minor league contract?
I don't really know anything about him, honestly.
I don't either. According to this article on SB Nation, which take it for what it's worth. I mean, it's a blog like Kings of Kaufman, so I trust that it's
bloggers are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, I mean it is. So it is. But no, this one was sent by Olney, so I'll trust that he at least double checks stuff.
No, they're fine. SB Nation's fine. That's Royals Review and Craig Brown. They're there. If you can trust Craig Brown, you can trust other sites there.
But this was off of MLB Daily Dish. So, but yes, yeah. it is the same organization that holds those guys. Anyways, this guy had posted he had played for the Nationals, from 2005 to 2010, was 12-24 with a 5.04 ERA and 155 appearances and 50 starts. He's trying to get back into the major leagues. He was very, very good for the Sugar Land Skeeters of the Atlantic League, which is the same team, I believe, that Roger Clemens was last seen playing for.
Yep.
Sure, so there's that little bit of trivia for
you. Down in Texas.
No emails this week. Send us those emails. Get the free Kellys.
Free booze. You don't have to drink it yourself. You can give it to a friend.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, didn't even hear from the regulars, Mike. We got a couple of guys that emails all the time, and I usually mention them on the show, but
yeah.
they didn't even email this week, so... Maybe we did the show too close together or something, didn't give anybody time to get emails out. Hopefully this will be posted by July 7th, and then who knows what will be the next show, because it could be...
everything.
Yeah. If some news happens this next week, we might have a show next week. We might actually skip next week in honor of the All-Star Week. But I am going to Albuquerque here in a couple of weeks to see the Storm Chasers play. I'm going to try very, very hard to bring back some audio with Mr. Danny Duffy, if he's still there, and probably talk to Ryan Verdugo, too, who posted a great picture on the 4th of July. And if you didn't see it, go back through his Teach Me to Doogie 11. He also sent it to me. It was pretty funny.
God bless America.
But on that note, I think I'm going to get out of here. Any final thoughts, Mike?
Greg Holland got snubbed. But I'm happy for Alex Gordon and Sal Perez.
I cannot physically remember. I know we said it, but I don't actually remember the last time the Royals had two All-Stars. I sure in hell don't remember the last time they had three. If Holland gets in as a replacement, it's going to be a great year.
It's pretty awesome.
For Kansas City. Now let's get some wins. The Royals are still, what, five games back? Five or six?
I think Detroit won, so I think they're still six, but the Royals are two games under 500, so they're, you know, they won. And today, they're hitting a little bit better. What?
My rule always is my rule always is, you cut out a little bit. It's probably my internet. I'm sorry. And so I thought you had stopped and you hadn't. So I apologize.
Go ahead.
But my rule is if they're not 500, I don't worry about the playoffs. So if they can get back to 500, then we'll start the countdown again of how far back they are. But 6 games back, they're still very much in it. I'm actually coming around to that way of thinking for now. And hopefully they don't totally just forget how to play baseball in the second half.
Well, it's 2 good weeks. That closes that gap nicely. So just get the right kind of stuff.
Get healthy, get back together, and fire net over the All-Star break, and I think we'll be set.
Good luck on that.
Okay, so that might not happen. Until next week, first, big shout-out to Jeff Ur, who's trying to get his house ready for inspection. It's almost sold. Almost done with it. So good luck to him. We miss him as always. For Michael Engel, I'm Troy Olson. This has been the Kansas City Baseball Vault. Have a great day. Congratulations to the two Royals All-Stars, Alex Gordon and Sal Perez. Have a great week. Go Royals.